Thank you. So thanks everybody. So here's a story about something I found in my lunch. And you know those stories where somebody finds a mouse in a can of soup or something? It's not that kind of story. But it is unusual, and it's my story. And my hope is that by the time it's done, it will help you see a new way to make the story you want to tell come true. So I grew up in the 70s. So I'm a nerdy only child. I probably worried too much about what other people thought or wanted. So I got good grades and practiced piano without being badgered much. And I worried about what I ate. I dieted. Dieting was big. And that was when drugs like Dexatrim and programs like Nutrisystem were really catching on. And actually not that long ago, I found a list from when I was 9 of what I could eat that day and the calories I could have. And if that's what I was doing then, and I think it's kind of what some people do now. But basically in the 70s, I was learning to restrict my hamburger helper and margarine calories. So this part isn't so unusual. There's no mouse in the soup can, but the story gets better. If you skip ahead to Cheryl in her 30s, nerdy child grows into nerdy adult. I have a good job. I have a great marriage. I'm in good shape physically. I'm doing some long distance biking now. And I've more or less built the body I wanted, basically replacing some cells made with better food than when I was a kid. And I have a lot of food knowledge, trustworthy food knowledge, that I can use for good instead of self-destruction. And things are good. Everything is really good, and I'm happy. But what I do not feel is satisfied. Why? I didn't know. And my solution was to convince myself that I was satisfied. And being a pretty strong person, that's what I did. My life then was about what I call my first place dreams. It's my career. It's my marriage. It's finishing the MS-150 bike ride using only 3 gears of my bike. Don't ask. These are first place dreams. These are big things. They're maybe milestones. They're shiny and loud things, and these are the ones that you tell other people about. But what about the second place stuff? These are the things we probably already know that we want or need, but they consistently take second place. It's when you hear yourself say, I know I should eat better, but I just, or I'm gonna do that someday, but it'll have to wait until after. Another way to look at these second place dreams are as quiet aspirations. It's like drawing or planning a dream trip or learning a new language. These are the things you kind of long for or that you've always expected to be doing, but you probably don't tell other people about them. But they can be some of the things that make you uniquely you. And not everybody feels like there's something missing, but I think sometimes when we do, it's because we're shortchanging the second place, these quiet dreams. It's when you don't feel satisfied, when everything seems to be going so well. And why are these things second place, or third place, or fourth place? I don't think it's because we're procrastinating or afraid. I think it's because they're quiet dreams. They just get drowned out when we're busy and it's harder to hear them. Or that they've gotten shushed by the teacher who said you couldn't draw, or a world that says there's no money in that, or by ourselves because something seems silly or impractical or weird. Maybe just for whatever reason, it just doesn't fit into the picture. So back to the story of me. Was I hearing my quiet aspirations? Was I listening to the what is it you want to do just because you want to do it voice? No. But I would. Around my 40th birthday, something unusual happened. They offered an introductory boxing class at my gym. And before you ask, it's not kickboxing, it's boxing, like Muhammad Ali boxing. And when I saw the class was posted, I had a total Derek Sivers hell yes response. This just seemed like the coolest thing in the world. And why did this 40-year-old woman want to do this? I'd never watched boxing. I didn't know anything about boxing. My family didn't care anything about any sport, really. I was just curious, and I don't know, it just felt like me. And did I tell many people about it? No way, because it was crazy. And it was just for me. And I couldn't justify it or explain it to anybody else because I didn't really understand it myself. But it turns out that I loved boxing. I still love boxing. I love the discipline of it. I love that it's not what the team does or what you're wearing. It's what you show up with, just you, and whatever your own brand of toughness is, from investing in your body and your mind. Because it's a psychological sport. It's a mental sport. Being good depends on your ability to stay calm and observe and respond. And a nice left hook doesn't hurt. Well, it does hurt, but you know. Clearly, I love this, right? I feel the most like me when I'm working at my gym. That's really me. I feel 100% me, maybe for the first time in my life. So is boxing my quiet aspiration? It's not. Remember Kid Cheryl? I started a new school in seventh grade, and I loved my gym class. And remember, I'm a nerdy kid. I really liked the teacher. I wanted to play basketball. I wanted to do gymnastics. I really loved the dance unit, but I would never have told anybody that. Sports, though, just weren't my family's thing. We weren't athletic people. And even though I really liked the gym teacher, there wasn't anyone in my corner saying, "You do it, try it." But what I really wanted to be was an athlete. But life, even then, was about first place dreams, not sports. It was about being responsible. It was about being ready to get a good job. My mom believed in me, but she really just wanted me to be a secretary for the president of literally any company. She was of a generation where that was, that was the job. I mean, stability mattered. And you know, as I grew into an adult, I got closer to my quiet aspiration and maybe heard, you know, a whisper of it with long distance biking or other things, but I wasn't there yet. And again, I don't know why, but when I was 40, I was listening. And this quiet dream, the one that's been dying to get fed since seventh grade, was finally heard. So what happened once I was healthy and acting on this quiet aspiration that I didn't even understand? Well, things changed. And if I hadn't met this 100% me, this boxer me, I wouldn't have done Seth Godin's MBA leadership program. I wouldn't have left my job, which I did recently. And I know I wouldn't have had the strength to finish out my last year there successfully. That was my 19th year with them. I don't think I would have weathered my mom's death from cancer the way I did. And I certainly wouldn't have had the chance to help other people who want to box, which I do now, and I also love. It's amazing. So, what does my crazy boxing story have to do with you? Well, I think that what turned my restlessness into this uniquely me, more satisfying life boils down to a few things. It's building a body that makes the best me possible, and that's mostly about better food choices for me. Listening to that quiet dream, turning my curiosity inside, and being brave enough and honest enough to accept and act on that thing that I was drawn to. And having someone to say, "I see what you're doing. Good job." It took a long time for these things to come together for me, but they came together. And I was already on my way to a healthier body when I started to box. I mean, my whole life I've been analyzing food, and I read all the time about food and nutrition ideas and research. But to me, learning more really made the basics look pretty good. Eat real food, food you can make yourself. And for many of us, the first step towards healthier is just avoiding highly processed stuff and eating a few more vegetables. That's it. Listening honestly to the quiet dreams or aspirations. I mean, believe me, I've spent years wondering why boxing, like, what is the deeper meaning in this for me liking it so much? What does this mean? It doesn't matter. There are plenty of things that I've tried that aren't me. Classical piano, as much as I wanted it to be, wasn't me. Neither was long distance biking, it turned out. Running, really, really not for me. But by staying curious, I acted on something later that I might have regretted. I won't be looking back someday at a person who wanted to but didn't. And having someone say, I see what you're doing, good job. So when I first started boxing, I trained with a couple of recent college grads, some guys who had started the boxing program at University of Wisconsin-Stout. And they never once said, oh, it's okay if you can't do whatever. Not once. If they said to do 300 sit-ups, you did them. If it takes you all day, it takes you all day. But you couldn't not do them. And these guys saw me, and I got credit for doing what I did and how I did it that day. And now, it's years later, I train at a different gym. I've been there for actually about 6 years. And my coach, Rachel Schley, is the real deal. She trains professional fighters. And in her boxing career, at the height of her career in 2007, she was ranked fourth in the nation. So Rachel expects her fighters to be disciplined and civil and to have fun. I think training with her is like recess in school, like a really painful recess for adults. So I work with Rachel and I'm seen by her and I hear good job. And she means it because she's 100% who she is at the gym too. And she's teaching me how to be my own coach, to push myself and when to cut myself some slack. So I can give myself credit for 2 assisted pull-ups and then they turn into 10 and then they turn into more than 20. Okay, they turn into 21. That's it, that's all I can do. But now I work with new people and I can say, I see you doing this, keep going. And they learn and I learn from watching pros and watching the coaches. I grow and I feel satisfied. So where are we today in the story of me? Well, as Lisa hinted at, I just left my job to make a different kind of change I want to see in the world. And that changes this. I want more people in the world to feel as satisfied with an ordinary day as Cheryl feels in the ring. People like you, people like us. So how? The 2 things we choose every day, what we eat and what we do. How can I help people see that making even better, not perfect choices can start today? No matter who you are, no matter your current health, whether or not you can put a name on your quiet aspiration or not, because that doesn't mean you don't have one. And just like the people at the gym who tell me that they can't do a military push-up, my response is, you can't yet, but you can, and I'll help you, and I'll do it with you. Getting started could be simpler than you think. And I know you think I forgot about the lunch part, but I didn't. This is what I think you can find in your lunch, a path to a more satisfying life. Every weekday, you can take 30 minutes and use this time for better food and better ways to use your time. 15 minutes to eat real food that you make yourself, and 15 minutes to do something that feels real and meaningful to you. And this is what I'm calling a box lunch lifestyle. This is a common sense practice of eating the food that will best fuel your body while you build the dreams that will motivate you to make the better food choices. This can be a powerful conversation because these are the things that are at the heart of what makes you the person you're meant to be. And just like a boxer, you need a place to train, and your lunch break can be that place. What can you find in your lunch besides food? A symbol. is your lunch can reflect back to you some of what you really value. Is what you ate at lunch and what you did at lunch today, that's an honest look at what you choose. What is loudest for you? Is it convenience? Is it I need a treat? Is it social media? Is it running errands? Is it taking care of your body? Or is it relentlessly fitting in one more thing? Just doing more and more and more. Because you're not a good boxer by having more and more tools. Yeah, there are a lot of combinations and techniques and styles, but there are really only a few punches that you really count on. You probably don't need more tools, like more nutrition information or another piece on whatever daily practices you already have. Not more, you need better. And you already have lunch on your calendar. So whether you take a break or not, there is a cultural expectation that lunch happens. So make it work for you. Whatever kind of food you make, whatever kind of aspiration, you can turn lunch into that small, reliable, fun investment in yourself. And here's how you do it. So one, make your own lunch. Take 15 minutes to eat it. Just slow down and experience it as something real. It's not about the food you can't have or what you should have. It's about what you can have. I mean, stuff that you like and anything you can make yourself. So number one is better food. Number two is ask yourself, what is that thing you've always wanted to do? And for 15 minutes, you act on it. You don't accept the meeting invite during lunch. Don't look at your phone. You need to defend this time because you deserve that. So that's number two, that's better time. And the power in the getting started part is that even if it's just for 15 minutes, then you are a poet. You are getting fit. Whatever it is that you choose, you're not just talking about it or feeling guilty about it. You are the musician. You are someone reading the popular novel instead of just wishing that you were. Immediately, you're that person doing that thing you said you always wanted to do. And that's someday out there, but right now, and it feels pretty good. It is motivating. So number three, give yourself credit. I know there's a ton of research about how eating fewer processed foods and taking a break in the middle of the day is good for productivity and your creativity and your mood. But I'm challenging you now to look at giving yourself credit in a way that might be new to you, because it was new to me. Just how you feel matters. It's going to be tough to quantify satisfaction, so don't worry about that. I think you're going to know it when you feel it. And it's just lunch. So how do you not win this? You can. It's just lunch, so you probably don't want to measure success in pages written or pounds lost. If you miss a day, whatever. You do it the next day. You keep going. Because this is a way to practice discipline and, you know, maybe change some habits, but it's also a chance to practice being kind to yourself just for doing something small and personal. Because just because it's a quiet thing instead of a loud one doesn't mean it doesn't matter. And it's probably not going away. It's like when you spar as a boxer, and that means not competitive fighting, but when you're training or working on specific skills in the ring. So when you're doing that, you're often going to be with people who are a lot more experienced than you are or a lot less experienced than you are. So what's going to count as a win? Points? You know, no. It's going to be noticing that today you felt a lot stronger in the third round than you did last week, or that he's always getting the first shot, and I don't like that. But it's the exchange, it's the connection between people with a common goal, or it's the physical work that's real and meaningful. It's not win or lose. This is a really good example of how feeling good can come from just having the courage it takes to show up for you and to act on investing in yourself. So, how are you going to consistently show up for you? Try box lunch lifestyle. And if you feel a little happier, have a little more energy in the afternoon, you win. You tell yourself good job and give yourself credit for that. What can you find in your lunch besides food? 5 days every week, you can see progress towards being that person you're meant to be. It's lunch. It's a small thing, but it's a real thing. And you're going to eat something anyway, right? So why not make it a chance to find the generosity you need for yourself instead of just responding to whatever's loudest? If you can change your lunch, you can change. So that's my story, and I hope it helps you see something in your own story in a new way. So thank you, Lisa, and for Josh, for inviting me and for everyone being here today. There's more about how to do this practice of Box Lunch Lifestyle at boxlunchlifestyle.com. And I also have plenty more to say about what boxing has taught me about life. My new blog, The Fighter Next Door, is coming soon. So thank you, and I'd love to hear your thoughts and questions.